from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. In recent days, numerous news accounts have taken us back to that day 10 years ago when the Twin Towers came tumbling down. Nearly 3,000 people died in the September 11th attacks, a day that changed how we view ourselves and our country. In the hour ahead, we'll consider the meaning of 9/11 today. What does it mean now to be an American? Did 9/11 change the meaning of the word patriotism? We'll hear from people we talked to 10 years ago, and we'll open up our phone lines to hear from all of you as well. 10 years after 9/11. That's next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. 10 years ago, on the morning of September the 11th, 2001, I was supposed to catch a flight out of Boston's Logan Airport, the same airport where two of the hijacked jetliners would later depart. Needless to say, my own flight never left. And so I wound up driving to my intended destination, Madison, Wisconsin. Within 24 hours, somewhere I think in Pennsylvania, I started seeing flags sprout up in people's yards, on street corners, attached to toll booths. I remember feeling proud. Among the many things 9/11 changed, at least for a while, was what it means to feel pride, to feel patriotic. In that moment, 9/11 loosed, amidst all the sadness, a sense of what we share, of being part of common ground. Now, 10 years after 9/11, how has that feeling changed? What does it mean today to be patriotic, to believe in America? Is it even possible to share a common spirit in a time when we're racked by partisan divides and when 80% of all Americans think the country is headed down the wrong track? In this hour of Forum, we want to hear your thoughts on the lasting meaning of September 11th and what we feel today about what it means to be an American. We're going to open up our phone lines from the very beginning of our program and hope you'll share your thoughts on this topic today. Here's the number. It's 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. You can email us your thoughts on this topic at forum at kqed.org. You can go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and you can also go to our Facebook page and contribute your thoughts on your own lasting memories of 9/11, how that has shaped you, how that's changed you. And this question we want to pose in particular today, whether or not it's changed your sense of what it means to be an American, what it means to be patriotic. We're also going to hear throughout our hour today from a number of people who we talked to 10 years ago. And we're going to start with some thoughts from Todd Gitlin, who's a professor of journalism and sociology today at Columbia University. Among his many books are The Intellectuals and the Flag. He joined Forum 10 years ago, just a few days after the September 11th attack, and he talked then about an experience he had just a few days after 9/11. Here's Todd Gitlin from 10 years ago.
I must say the most powerful experiences I had in the last week, or at least the most affirming ones, were Friday and Saturday when late in the afternoon my wife and I went down to as far as we could get to the periphery of the zone, and found that a lot of people were waiting on the street corners to cheer people who were coming out of the Ground Zero zone, firemen, policemen, rescue workers of all sorts. And it was quite extraordinary to be in a patriotic crowd. It was not bloodthirsty. Nobody was calling for revenge. People were cheering, in fact, to use an old phrase, working-class heroes.
Todd Gitlin speaking just a few days after the September 11th attack 10 years ago, and he joins us now from New York City. Todd Gitlin, thanks for joining us again.
Sure, pleasure.
Tell us what you're thinking now about that morning and about that experience you had in terms of feeling a kind of patriotism.
It's valuable to me to hear the tone of my voice at that moment because it's hard actually for me to recover the sentiment that I was experiencing then. And I think I've thought a lot in the last couple of weeks about why that is. I think the moral of the story is that you cannot lastingly create a sense of commonality out of an experience of being victimized or being at war. The experience that I, you know, gave witness to 10 years ago was evanescent. It was the in the moment rising to the occasion of sort of knowing that you were in this thing together. I mean, that day I met people who'd driven hundreds of miles just to come down and dive into the wreck to help look for survivors who, of course, didn't exist. And it was that week, you know, a feeling that you could walk up to anybody in the street and or in the subway and you immediately sort of plunge into a deep conversation, which was a life and death conversation, was also an affirmation of a common identity. And, you know, America cannot do that. It is, you know, the country was on September 10th many countries, and now in September of 2011, it is many countries.
Mm. And part of what you wrote about subsequently was that people on the left in particular had to kind of reclaim the flag and reclaim their sense of patriotism. In all that's happened in the past decade, where do you come down on that particular question now about what it means to be patriotic?
Well, it's just as contested as everything else is about America. I mean, there's still obviously a segment of the country for whom being patriotic means saluting not just the flag, but the leader, the commander-in-chief, the boss of the moment, the ideologue-in-chief. And then there are others who think that what you're affirming is a sort of is an American commonality that, you know, it stands in relation to a history which the better angels of our nature, as Lincoln said, are singing the chorus. Are we a country that actually has a common identity, or is your own society? That's really the big left-right divide today. And, you know, there are people on both sides of it. I think what I've learned is how difficult it is to sustain the energy that goes toward the we're in this together spirit. I mean, when you have one political party that entirely belongs to a sensibility that says basically there's nothing here. It's not the government's money, it's your money, as George Bush said about Social Security. And, you know, and we have one party that declared that its idea about the country is exclusive, and then you have another part of the country that is really just somewhat at sea in confusion. Hmm. So neither of these is actually the material of inspiration.
Will you do anything on the morning of September the 11th in New York? Will you do anything to try to reclaim, or is it possible to reclaim that sense of what you heard in your own voice 10 years ago?
Well, actually, oddly enough, I'm going to be on the radio down actually at the near Ground Zero. Actually, on the BBC is doing several hours, and they asked me to be one of their talking heads. And so I'll actually be staring at the site, and I don't know how I'll feel. I haven't stared at the site in a long time.
Ted Gitlin joining us this hour, as he did 10 years ago. Ted Gitlin, thanks for getting us started this morning.
You're very welcome.
And let's hear from some of our listeners this morning as we think and talk about the meaning of 9/11 10 years later. You can join us at 866-733-6786. Eli is going to get us started. Eli, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to echo the same points that I really feel like, you know, during that time, there was a lot of unity we were feeling. But, you know, in the years after that, as the Bush administration kind of started forcing this absolute patriotism, like you're either with us or against us. And they really, you know, a lot of politicians during that time really hijacked the feeling of unity we were feeling. And, you know, these days it's almost continuing, but I really felt frustrated in the years after that and kind of saddened by it, because it should have been a time of unity and not a time of political pressures.
Do you think that feeling, Eli, is one that you can recapture? Is it something you want to recapture in terms of what you feel about the country?
You know, I think it is. I think it is, but I think it's going to take a lot of a lot of just understanding from all sides in general, because, you know, the discourse that we have these days is more than frustrating, and I really wish we could get back to, you know, a more sensible time that we had before that.
Eli, thanks. Thanks for adding your thoughts this morning. We can hear next from Romeo Horvath. He's a former U.S. Army paratrooper. He was in the Army at the time of 9/11 and then shortly thereafter decided he would reenlist in the National Guard. Today he works at the Veterans Administration in Palo Alto. Romeo, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, you're welcome, sir.
As we approach the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, first, take us back to what your own emotions were at that time. You were in the Army in Kosovo at the time, and you very shortly thereafter decided that you wanted to stay in service, to reenlist. What was it that you wanted to achieve? What was it that motivated that decision?
Well, I spent 5 years in active duty. I was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, part of the airborne unit like you mentioned earlier. And during those 5 years, what we do every day is train, and you're training for the worst-case scenario, which is combat in a war zone. So when 9/11 happened, I was already deployed on a peacekeeping mission in Kosovo. It was like this kind of perfect storm, and it was coming towards the end of my contract, so they sent me home early. My unit, I was surprised they did. And during the time, I was following the news, and we found out that Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda was behind the whole thing. So I felt like I needed to reenlist and carry out everything I've been training for, which is to go to combat and serve the country. So I just joined the California National Guard and waited to see if my unit was going to get activated, and it was eventually in 2003.
And you eventually served two tours of duty, is that correct, in Iraq?
One tour of duty from 2003 to 2004. It was a 11 months and 27-day long deployment.
It sounds like you remember every moment of it. What are your thoughts as we approach this 9/11 anniversary, Romeo? As someone who has served, continues to serve in your work at the Veterans Administration, about its meaning, what is it that you'd like people to think about in terms of how they view themselves and how they view the country?
Well, for me, it's 10-year anniversary, it's historical and for the whole nation, but being a combat vet, I go through stuff like almost all the time, so almost every day is like a 10-year anniversary.
In what way do you go through it every day?
Just different emotions, anger, sadness, guilt. You know, I still have some buddies that are still there. Some of my friends have went to Iraq 2-3 times, and also Afghanistan too. I have a couple friends there and kind of monitor them on Facebook. It's just kind of hard, but with this Sunday coming up, I'm going to take some time and reflect like I've always been doing and think about my service and the contributions. And it's kind of weird because, I feel like I never felt like I was part of history, but I guess I am.
Hmm. Romeo Horvath, a former U.S. Army paratrooper, served in Iraq, reenlisted after 9/11, now works at the Veterans Administration in Palo Alto. Romeo, thank you for your contribution and for your service.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
For any of veterans out there or family members, if you guys are experiencing any problems, please come to the VA. The VA is there to help you. It's helped me and continue getting help there all the time. And without the VA, I probably wouldn't be alive right now.
Well, thank you for adding that, Romeo. It's a really, really important point. It's part of what does continue after 9/11. It is something that is a continuing experience, and veterans in particular are most deserving of the sort of help that the VA provides. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for contributing to our program. Again, if you want to join our conversation, it's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org, forum@kqed.org. Facebook, you can join our conversation there, as well as our website, kqed.org/forum. Part of what we want to try to get at this morning is your own sense of what it means to be an American, how you would define patriotism in this now somewhat divided time in which we live. We'd like to hear your thoughts on what that term means. I'm going to I'd like to read something. So many things have been written in recent days. This is from something probably most everyone remembers from 9/11. Not long after 9/11, there appeared in the New York Times portraits of grief, it was called, portraits of people who had been lost in the 9/11 attacks, and the Times recently has gone back to recapturing some of those moments and revisiting some of those same families 10 years after they lost a loved one. And I'd like to read just briefly from one of them. It's from it's about Kevin Dowdell, and this is an excerpt from something that appeared just a couple of days ago. In the grim early days, Kevin Dowdell's sons, Patrick, then 18, and James, 17, would go to Ground Zero to dig alongside the firefighters. Maybe they would find the body of their father, a lieutenant with Rescue Company 4 in Queens, but his remains were never recovered. The boys, Patrick on his bagpipes and James on his snare, would often play in the fire department's pipe band at the 9/11 funerals, sometimes two or three funerals a day. After graduating from college, James became a firefighter and is now in a master's program in fire protection services at John Jay College. After graduating from West Point, Patrick, the other brother, is now married, did one tour of duty in Iraq as a platoon leader and a second as a captain in Afghanistan. One day in May, James Dowdell called his mother excitedly. "They got Osama bin Laden," he said. The boys grabbed their bagpipes and rushed to Ground Zero. Patrick played "The Army Goes Rolling Along" and "God Bless America," and then for his father, "Amazing Grace." One of the portraits of grief that the New York Times is revisiting these days in as we all consider the meaning and lasting impact of 9/11. We'd like to hear from you as well this hour. Again, 866-733-6786, forum at kqed.org is our email address. Let's hear from Susan in Nevada. Susan, go ahead.
Hi. I think that the politicians in Washington are making it very difficult to be patriotic these days. Supposedly, they're the people that are supposed to be helping us do our best job. And I certainly don't think that that has been the case. As a matter of fact, I think that their partisanship and fighting constantly prove to most of us, I think, that we really don't matter, that their reelections matter, but that we don't matter, and the health of our country doesn't matter. I mean, this really chokes me up. I'm 69 years old. I was around when the Kennedys were here, when we did believe that the people who represented us thought that we mattered and they were doing something to help us be a better, stronger nation. And it's just been a long time since I felt that.
Do you feel then any motivation, though, Susan, given the situation that you just described, to try to make your voice matter more, to sort of,
you know,
push
just
back?
In the 60s, you know, I was very vocal about the Vietnam War. I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, and I stood up for what I believed in, and I really felt that it mattered. Now, I don't think that that's true, especially on the liberal side. I think that the conservatives seem to be able to get people to represent them, but I'm still not convinced that the conservative side has much to do with the health of our country. I love my country. I've always loved my country. It's not perfect. There are a lot of things that, you know, we can do much better, helping us as individuals and our place in the world. I think it has been greatly undermined in the last 20 years by mistakes that we've made. And nobody wants to fix that. Everybody wants to get reelected. I really worked hard for President Obama. I felt really optimistic about him. I understand this is not his fault, the situation that we're in, because nobody's cooperated with anybody. But last night when he gave his speech, he sounded like an actor. And I didn't want him to sound like an actor. I wanted him to sound like my president, saying, you know, damn it, this is what we have to do to make things better. Not try to sell this package, but to show that the package is the only option, that we have to make it work.
Susan,
I'm just really tired of that.
Yeah, Susan, thanks. Thanks for adding in your thoughts for our program this morning. Let me hold you there and ask others to add in their thoughts on whether or not it is possible to feel patriotic, a sense of unity, a sense of what it means to be an American in this divided time that Susan was just describing. We want to hear next from Chitra Banerjee Diva Karuni, who is a novelist, short story writer, and poet. Her most recent novel is One Amazing Thing. She, too, along with Todd Gitland, joined us 10 years ago. And here's what she said in the days immediately following the 9/11 attacks 10 years ago.
It was just not a physical attack, but it seemed like it was an attack at the values we hold most dear. But when it happened, it made me also think, and I've been speaking to a lot of immigrant American citizens this whole last week, and it made us think that these are the values we came to this country for. For people born in this country, their patriotism kind of came along with their birth, but for many of us, in fact, for most of us, it was a conscious choice. And for many of us, we left conditions that are contrary to the values that America stands for in our hearts and minds. And I think that is what makes our patriotism a little different. The downside of this wonderful patriotic wave that is sweeping the country is that a lot of people are looking, you know, with a funny kind of look in their eyes at people who don't look like the traditional concept of the American, who look like they might be related to the terrorists. And so I think that's the dark face of patriotism that sometimes occurs in times like this.
Comments from Chitra Banerjee, Diva Karuni, the novelist. Her most recent novel, by the way, is One Amazing Thing, and she joins us again 10 years later. Unfortunately, we have to take a break in just a couple of minutes, so let me get a thought or two, and then we'll resume our conversation after the break. But listening to yourself 10 years ago, where are you on that continuum now about what it means to be an American, especially for immigrants who came to this country, as you said, by choice to share these particular American values?
Well, first of all, it's so wonderful to be here revisiting this idea, because I think all over the country, that is what many Americans are doing. They're thinking back to 9/11, which really changed our lives and changed this country in some very powerful ways. Looking back at it and thinking about being an American, an immigrant American in this country, I feel that 9/11 has certainly marked us, but we've emerged stronger as an American community and as an immigrant community that stands up for America. I feel that 9/11 really, it had a big impact on my writing. The book that I was writing at that time, Vine of Desire, I was in the Bay Area writing that. It was going to be about something else, but after 9/11, it just couldn't be. It became about immigrants in America and what happened to us after 9/11, how we were feeling at once patriotic and beleaguered. And, you know, my latest book, One Amazing Thing, that is also one of the stories of one of the nine characters in the book. How do you live in post 9/11 America? But I think along with the sorrows and the memories, I think there's a real sense in my immigrant community and among many that I speak to, that we are going to make it. We are going to make it together. America is still a wonderful country. Yes, we are having all kinds of problems. I was listening to Susan just a moment ago. But there's a real sense that we're going to try and make the experience of 9/11 count, and we're going to help. We're going to make that help us become a better community.
And let me hold you
together.
Yeah, let me hold you there. We'll take a short break. We'll hear more from Chitra Diva Karuni when we return. This is Forum on KQED. Join us at 866-733-6786 as we continue our discussion about today's memory and meaning of 9/11. Welcome back to Forum, our topic this hour, remembering 9/11, how it's changed us, how it's changed our own attitudes about being American, what the meaning of patriotism is today. Is it something that people can join around, or is it something that will continue to divide us? Chitra Banerjee Diva Karuni joins us now. She's a novelist, short story writer, and poet. She joined us 10 years ago talking about the impact of 9/11, in particular on the immigrant community. And just another thought before we let you go, Chitra Diva Karuni, It sounds like you have some faith in where America is right now, that unlike some of the callers we've heard from so far, that you actually have a more positive view of what America can still be.
Yes, I do. And that is not to downplay the difficulties and the differences, and America will never be the same. And every time I fly, I'm made aware of that because I'm always pulled out and given a little extra searching before I get on the airplane. And in fact, in my community, now there's a term, it's called flying while brown, and all of us know what it means. But overall, I really feel that we are in a place to make a big difference. We're at a time where we can remember, but also the best way of honoring the memory of those who were lost and those who gave their lives to help others and those who sacrificed is to really create a better America, a safer America, without turning on, you know, some of us, without one part of America turning on another. I'm teaching at the University of Houston now, and on Monday we're going to have a big forum where we're going to talk about what can we do to make it a better post 9/11 world. What kinds of information does the American citizen need? What kinds of actions are available to each one of us? Because I do believe that each one of us, yes, we can act in large groups and we can act globally, but each one of us, we can do something in our lives to make it a better country and use 9/11, keep that in the back of our minds, to get to know each other, maybe to get to cooperate with each other, to recognize the real dangers and see what can be done about them.
Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni, her new novel is called One Amazing Thing. Thanks for joining us 10 years ago. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me.
Again, our number, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. Join us on the web at kqed.org/forum. Karen writes in, I think a conversation about how patriotic we are or are not isn't helpful. To me, the lesson of 9/11 is that unbridled patriotism, nationalism, and fundamentalist religion are at the root of the world's problem. Rather than boost our allegiance to the country in which we happen to live, why not take steps to boost our allegiance to humanity? It's an interesting point and an interesting question about what the meaning of patriotism, that particular word, is. We associate it perhaps with a sense of waving the flag, but of course it can mean exactly what Karen is suggesting, which is the steps we might take to boost our allegiance to humanity. How do you define the word in this post-9/11 world that we live? What does the word patriotism mean to you? It's one of the questions that we'd like to explore further this morning. One definition of patriotism that I've always been fond of and have quoted actually on this program before is one that Adlai Stevenson said when he ran for the presidency. He ran twice unsuccessfully in 1952 and 1956 against Dwight Eisenhower. And he said that, quote, patriotism is not about short frenzied outbursts of emotion. Patriotism is about the steady, quiet dedication of a lifetime. Adlai Stevenson in the 1950s. How do you define the word? What does it mean to you? We'd like to hear from you, and we'll hear next from John in Cupertino. John, go ahead, please.
Yes, hello. This is a great conversation you're having. Thank you very much. I have an observation. I think it is a great time to be an American because what we're seeing is a result of the attack on 9/11 and the history that preceded it and the subsequent actions that we have taken, reactions that we have had to it, is, I think, an increased... the United States is becoming increasingly an international country. We're becoming less isolated, and we're beginning to see the interconnectedness of our actions financially and militarily and whatnot, with the rest of the world, the Middle East, et cetera. And so my point is that this is a great time to be an American, and it's a great time to be a patriotic American, to stand for those ideals that make us one of the greatest countries in the world, which is liberty and justice for all. And that's the most important thing. That's why people, you know, want to be here. That's why we live here as Americans, for exactly that reason. And so I think it's to be a patriot nowadays is to represent ourselves as Americans, in having those qualities, and not to be afraid of terrorism, not to walk around like we have been beaten, but to stand up and say, this is our country, and be proud of it internationally. I think it's an important job that needs to be done.
John, thank you. John, thanks for participating in our program today. We welcome your continued participation in our program, again at 866-733-6786 or at forum.kqed.org. Hear next from Jessie Hempel. She produced one of our perspectives. All of you have heard our perspectives on our air. They're individual commentaries that people make. Terry did one 10 years ago on September the 25th, 2001. Jessie was 26 years old at the time that she produced that perspective in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. Let's hear a little bit from what she had to say 10 years ago as a 26-year-old, and then we'll hear from her again.
Americans may never feel safe again, but I believe my generation has lost only the privilege of our ignorance, which isn't privilege at all. It is a time to risk complacency and take action in the spirit of hope. Read, educate ourselves, connect to our communities, write, patron the businesses of Muslim Americans, call Congress, call our moms, our families, express our desire for peace or for war. Believe that each action we take, no matter how small, changes the future. This is the time to believe in the power of our voices and our vote, and to create connections that defy cynicism and apathy.
Jessie Hempel, a excerpt from the perspective that she offered as part of KQED's Perspective series that was in September of 2001, and she joins us again now. Jessie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
When you hear your voice from 10 years ago, and particularly that last part about the importance of taking action and making your voice heard, where are you on that continuum now, 10 years later, as a 36-year-old? Do you still have that same faith and belief in taking action and giving voice?
I sound so young when I listen to it. It's almost hard to hear. But yes, I would say actually what's remarkable to me about the statement that I made then is that it is still the statement that I would make today. I'm sure you remember those weeks right after 9/11. As we continued daily to watch the events unfold in our living room on the TV, there was just a sense of powerlessness, of helplessness. And we knew something was coming, but we didn't know what it was. And we were collectively scared. We were individually scared. And in the face of that, it seemed like the one thing we could do was the thing that was most personal, which was reach out and connect to each other. You know, I think what's different about now, though, is when I was 26, I really believed that we were in this moment in between, that there was a beginning, which was 9/11, that there would be a period of great uncertainty, followed by a period of action, followed by a period of resolve, and that my life would look and feel again like it did in those years when, you know, in the late 90s, it was this time in the country when I graduated where, you know, essentially you come to Silicon Valley and they were literally handing out jobs, yeah. And life felt very differently than it does today. And in fact, 9/11 now that I'm 36, feels to me like it marks a great break in my life, the break between a time when the America of my youth was a place where my parents expected better things for me than they had for themselves, and the sky was the limit. And today, the post-9/11 world that I live in is a place where even the most prepared and outstanding individuals in their professions in this country may indeed lose their jobs and, in fact, their industries. And there is a great sense of uncertainty. And in the face of that, as I look at the world I live in now, you know, I think that that same message still is what I take hope from and what I deliver to my friends and family and audience that I write for now, which is, you know, as Chitra said, we have each other, we have community, we have the individual small actions that we can take to build that and make it strong.
Jessie Hempel. She first contributed a perspective, part of our perspective series 10 years ago. She joins us again this morning. Thanks so much for adding your voice back. Sounds like it's time for you to do another perspective for us. Thanks for being with us this morning. Really good
you.
To hear your voice again. Comments coming in from our website. Brian writes in, "The moment the terrorist attacks of 9/11 happened, a root of dread was planted in me that has only grown in the 10 years since. I was certain that war would soon follow alongside all the war measures at home. I haven't been able to shake that feeling of dread and insecurity for the country and the country's future." Jim writes in, "As a former resident of Manhattan who used the WTC, the World Trade Center terminus, for several years, I'm still confounded by the event that changed everything. It was assuredly a sad event caused by 18 terrorists that cost 3,000 lives. However, $3 trillion and 6,000 American lives later, it seems that we are entranced by our own marketing hype. The rest of the world has experienced terrorism for decades, and with the exception of some dictators, has responded with police action and somewhat higher scrutiny at the borders. Instead of a more considerate response, we've chosen to attack our civil liberties and retreat into fear." Jim's comments remind me of something that David Remnick wrote in the current edition of The New Yorker. I'll just read a little bit of it about this sort of ongoing debate we have in this country in the wake of 9/11. Here's what David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker, wrote. "This 10th anniversary is a marker, not an end. It's a time to commemorate, consider, and reconsider. A decade later, we pay tribute to the resilience of ordinary people in the face of appalling destruction. We remember the dead and with them the survivors, the firemen, the police, the instinctive volunteers, the myriad acts of courage and kindness. A decade later, we also continue to reckon not only with the violence that bin Laden inflicted, but with the follies, the misjudgment, and the violence that he indirectly or directly provoked. 10 years after the attacks, we are still faced with questions about ourselves, questions about the balance of liberty and security, about the urge to make common cause with liberation movements abroad, and about the countervailing limits. Only absolutists answer these questions absolutely." David Remnick, writing in the current edition of The New Yorker magazine. Peter joins us next. Peter, go ahead. Peter, you with us? Go ahead.
Yes, I certainly am. There's a statement from one of our great late presidents, and he stated, "A nation reveals itself not only by the men it produces, but also the men it honors, the men it remembers." John F. Kennedy.
Hmm.
And this, to me, is important for all the victims of 9/11, all the troops, all the spouses, and all the children who have been affected. My heart goes out to those brave men and women who sacrificed their lives before and after and presently in harm's way right now. This country is a magnificent country. I'm very proud to be part of it.
Peter, thank you. Thank you for bringing back that quote from John F. Kennedy and for the remembrance that you offered. Terry T.J. Boyd joins us next. He's a former sergeant in the U.S. Marine Corps. He served for 7 years, saw action in both Afghanistan and Iraq. We first checked in with him for a program we did on student veterans when he was a student at Sierra College in 2009. Terry Boyd, thanks for joining us again.
How you doing, man?
We're good, thank you. What are you thinking about right now as we approach 9/11?
I'm thinking about, you know, I'm flashbacking really back to when I got those knocks on my door and the alert that we had to go on and the trip we had to take overseas after everything went down. The other things I'm thinking about is, you know, the number of guys that I've known and didn't make it back, and those people still in those buildings that didn't make it out in time. And it's just hard to swallow. It's one of those things where, you know, life carries on and we laugh and this and that, but as soon as we fall back and that time of the month comes around and you start thinking about 9/11 and it pops up in your head for those of us who were in the area or had something to do with it or, you know, have some part of protecting our country against more attacks like that, it's something that's never going to go away. It instantly brings that frown and that burn in your heart that's probably going to bring to the day you die.
So, you know,
that's the same thing I think about.
Yeah, we heard earlier in the program from Romeo Hormath, a former Army paratrooper, who said something similar about how present it all is, that it doesn't go away. And he works at the Veterans Administration in Palo Alto, so he's dealing with that in a day-to-day basis. But it sounds like that's true for you as well, that this brings it all back in a more vivid way, but it's not something that ever disappears from your life.
No, I mean, when I was having the press conversation yesterday, one of the members, I was just thinking, like, wow, I mean, it's been 10 years, and it really just feels like it happened yesterday, you know, and when it comes to the surface, or somebody brings it up, and you're just like, it's just like one of those moments where you just step back and like, God, I can't believe it happened. It's just, you take that big sigh, and you know, you just hurt still. You hurt over again. You know, it's like it's on repeat all the time.
Hmm.
So, you know, yeah.
Terry, tell us what you're going to do on the morning of September the 11th. Have you thought about what you'll do? Will you do anything special? Will you remember anybody in particular?
Oh, for sure. You know, there's a few of my buddies who, like I said earlier, didn't make it back. I'm going to remember them with their actions that they took thereafter 9/11. And one of the things I'm going to do with my family, I have a nice little family together now, and I'm going to teach my little girls. None of them were born except for one when the attacks happened, but I'm going to sit down with them, and we're probably going to turn on some TV, and I'm sure that the media is going to smother us with it that day, so I'm going to weed out the good stuff and, you know, show them what I want them to know and show them how important, you know, being an American is and how important it is to help those overseas who aren't as fortunate as us to fight for themselves, you know? You know, gonna do a lot of things that day that let them understand that every day that they should be very thankful to wake up in their beds in peace and not have to worry about things because of our brothers who are still fighting these fights, you know, ever 10 years ago. I mean, geez, I'm gonna have a little lesson that day with my family. So it's going to be good.
Terry Boyd, former sergeant in the U.S. Marines, served 7 years, saw action in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Enjoy that day with your daughters, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Bye.
Tatiana, sorry, joins us next in San Francisco. Tatiana, go ahead, please.
Okay, so 10 years ago, I was actually a foreign exchange student, and I was here in California when 9/11 happened. And I remember how shaken I was at that time and how much it hurt to me. But you know what? At that time, I also fell in love with the country, not because of 9/11, but in general, during my whole experience. And I wanted to come back to this country. So looking for scholarships after high school to come back, and I noticed how much of a decrease there was in available scholarships for international students. To people who, like me, wanted to come back to this country or to just come for the first time and take advantage of the educational opportunities and then contribute to this country. Luckily, I was able to find a scholarship for me, and I came back, and now I graduated, and I have a great job, and I'm a U.S. citizen at this point. And, you know, I can tell you, maybe because I was here 10 years ago or because I'm just so much in love with this country, I feel like it was a part of me as well. That tragedy happened not just to the country, like I was part of it. And my heart goes out to all the people who were affected. And at the same time, I just want to say to not forget about humanity, to no matter what race, where those people are from, there's still people that love this country and that want all the best for this country.
Tatiana.
And the other point I wanted to bring up is I had to fly that year back to my home country, and I'm from Eastern Europe. And I remember that just because I had an international passport, they were, okay, search her. So they took me aside. They were searching me. And, you know, at that time, I didn't even mind. I was like, you know, better safe than sorry, because there is a tragedy that shook everybody up. And I was scared to fly, but I had to go home. And even now, it really doesn't bother me that if I have to be searched or anything, because I feel that there should be some precautions and it's better to be wise about them.
Tatiana, thanks. Thanks for joining us. glad you're back in the United States and happy to have you here as well. Thanks for participating in our program. Lisa writes in, I think what has changed for me is that I am leaning towards being a citizen of the earth rather than only of the United States. And with two kids, ages 9 and 11, I truly wonder if their lives will be better than that of their parents. One of the many thoughts that have come in this morning as we think about the meaning of 9/11, what it means to be an American, what it means to be a citizen of the world, as Lisa and Karen and a number of others have pointed out this morning, that we can define that meaning of patriotism in a broader sense, not just in a narrow sense as perhaps we once did. You're listening to Forum as we've continued this conversation today, talking about the meaning of 9/11, both in the past and in the present. As you know, this is also a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. And let's take another call. Catherine in Berkeley joins us next. Catherine, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I was living in Saudi Arabia in Jeddah, working at King Faisal Hospital. I'm a nurse. And I was at work when I got a phone call from my roommate telling me that what she was seeing on TV. And at first I thought she was telling me about a movie she was seeing. And I don't know why you're calling me at work about a movie. But then I realized that she finally got through to me that she was watching the Twin Towers go down on TV. And here we were in Jeddah. The hospital that I worked at is just down the street from the bin Laden corporate offices. I mean, I was living in a place where bin Laden had grown up. And my concern is that the Saudi Arabian people that were there with me that day and listened to my story when I was telling them from the phone, you know, what my roommate was telling me, they were nothing but sympathetic and in just as much shock as I was. And for days and weeks afterwards, people would come up to me, the Saudi Arabian people would come up to me and tell me how sorry they were that this had happened. And so I just want people to know that the Saudi Arabian people are not, you know, terrorists. They're good people, and they had total sympathy with me when this happened. And I can still remember sitting there, you know, in tears at the desk, you know, in the office, you know, in the department I was working in.
Catherine?
How it was treated.
Catherine, yes. Thanks. Yeah, no, it's useful to hear that point of view from that country in particular on that day 10 years ago. Catherine, thank you. It's a comment from Sarah who writes in, I was born and raised in Canada, but I lived in the United States for the past 12 years and have dual citizenship. Patriotism to Canadians is so much different than it is to Americans. For many Americans, patriotism is all about being loud and demonstrative and asserting that the United States is the world's superpower. I've never understood this type of patriotism. And I almost live in fear that I'm going to say the wrong thing and come across as unpatriotic, the greatest evil in some people's eyes. I do wonder what kind of identity the U.S. and Americans would have if they slipped from their position as a superpower. They seem to cling to it so desperately. Canadians are patriotic as well, but in a much quieter way. Colin in San Francisco is next. Colin, go ahead, please.
Good morning. I don't like the tone of the coverage of the 9/11 anniversary. I think it's been maudlin and excessive. More people have died from gun violence in this country than died on 9/11. Are we going to take out a whole week of media time and engage in the same kind of coverage? I just have empathy for the survivors of those who lost loved ones on 9/11, but they don't really have a monopoly on suffering. I think that are going along this way is really only going to, number one, serve as some sort of justification for scapegoating groups of Americans, such as Muslim Americans, and number two, just create this climate of self-righteousness in this country that we can't ever really examine what we did wrong or why people outside of the U.S. may have negative impressions about what our government is doing in their parts of the world.
Colin, thanks. Thank you. It's useful to get that perspective included within our program as well, that there are other things to certainly consider in other kinds of suffering that go on in the world. Colin, thanks. Let's get in one more quick comment. Thomas, we just have a moment, so just a quick thought, if you would, please. Thomas in Sonoma.
Yeah, hi. I think what impacted me and impacted all of us is in the aftermath of the attacks on September 11th, the Bush administration, with all of the Democrats in Congress supporting him, attacked our Constitution, which they were sworn to uphold. We no longer have the freedoms that our founding fathers wrote down in the Constitution. We don't have habeas corpus, the foundation and cornerstone of representative law in the Western world. And I don't think that 10 September 11th would have warranted the gutting of our Constitution. Too many, you know, heroic Americans, you know, fought and died for this. And I think it was wrong for the Bush administration and for Congress to approve of the Patriot Act, which is very Orwellian name, considering it pretty much was a treasonous document because it gutted key elements of the Constitution, which they're all sworn to uphold.
Thomas, thanks. It's a good note in some ways to end on. The one thing we can probably all think about as we approach the 9/11 anniversary is the Constitution and its meaning and its purpose and what we hope will be the continuing purpose of this country and its contributions to the world. I want to thank all of you for participating in our conversation today as we think about the lasting meaning of 9/11. Thanks especially to those who joined us 10 years ago and rejoined us again today, Todd Gitlin, Chitra Banerjee, Divakaruni, and Jesse Hempel. Thanks also to Romeo Horvath and Terry T.J. Boyd, who participated in our program and who also served in the United States Armed Services. Thanks all to your participation. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Danny Bringer is our engineer. Raul Ramirez is our executive producer. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.